engage the enemy of your mind. Wake up! Engage the enemy of your mind with the truth.
Welcome to Smell the Truth Radio, brought to you by smellthetruth.com. With your host, Dr. David Berman, and now your co-host, the coach, Rob Lotito.
Well, hello everybody again. This is Smell the Truth Radio, the coach with you, and as always, the Dr. David Berman next to me. Pastor, how are you, sir? You got that look on your face.
Well, you look surprised to see me
people
here.
People can't see us.
Did I get translated here all of a sudden? What happened?
I just looked to my right, and there you were.
There I was.
Studios are interesting when you're on radio, and you can have some fun without people seeing sometimes. So we had just looked at each other like we never saw each other here.
Yeah,
like looked
right.
You looked up from your handheld computer device.
Yes, I was looking at some interesting statistics, which we'll get into on today's show a little bit.
I can assume today's show, we're going to be speaking about what is Islam and more of the truth about Islam, as you know with this show, Smell the Truth Radio, smellthetruth.com. And we've been on air now for a few months, Pastor, and the shows get interesting and more interesting. So much happening in our world today. Should we be scared? Are we fearful of what's going on, Pastor, around us? I mean, I trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. But some days I wake up and say, what is going on?
Yeah. Well, obviously, as a Christian, right, we put our trust in Christ. But if you just look at society, obviously we have terrible things going on. Not only do we have a breakdown in the family, we've got all these kind of things, but now added to that is a super huge problem with Islam.
Yeah.
Islam, when I think about it, it's actually quite remarkable because 9/11 hits, right?
Yeah.
And should tell us quite clearly what Islam is about. I mean, because if you study Islamic history, you understand the position of, the imposition of their religion upon people with violence. But now we're 12, 13 years later, however long it's been since...
It's the year 2015.
So 14 years.
14 years later, here we are.
And it seems like people have forgotten, it seems like, exactly what's going on here. And they don't realize that Islam is completely and totally opposed to Western Judeo-Christian ethic and worldview. It's a completely different mindset and worldview, and it cannot blend together or be married with Western Judeo-Christian ethic. The two are completely and diametrically opposed to one another.
So here we are with Smell the Truth Radio, Pastor, which is a big passion of yours to tell the truth about stuff. So here's the simple question, because I find that some of the teenage kids, right up to contemporaries of my own, to even folks who are in their latter years of life, do not really know what is Islam. So Islam 101, what is it, Pastor?
Well, Islam is the belief that there is one God and his name is Allah.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that Muhammad received revelation through the angel Gabriel, directly from Allah through the angel Gabriel to Muhammad. Interestingly enough, Muhammad thought he was possessed with the devil when he received some of these revelations, so-called revelations. He himself thought that. His wife convinced him that he was not possessed with by the devil and that he was some kind of a prophet. At that point, he goes on in Mecca, mm-hmm, to try to preach what he believes God had spoken to him. However, none of this is written down until 20 years or so, 25 years, maybe even 28 years after Muhammad died. Is so, any of the Quran written down?
Was Muhammad a sane individual? I've heard that he was not a sane individual. Is that because of these revelations? Or?
Well, we have no evidence that he, mm-hmm, was insane. There's no. All my studies don't show any evidence of that. My evidence is that he was demonized. He obviously taught things that were completely contrary to Christ. He was a very interesting individual from the standpoint of how he behaved himself in Mecca versus Medina. In Mecca is where he starts his religion. He's not received very well in Mecca. he starts to speak out against the religions in Mecca. They kind of didn't like him. He ends up going to Medina, and in Medina, he grows his religion. Once he grows his religion, we have what are called, we refer to as the Medina verses of the Quran, as opposed to the Mecca verses of the Quran. Mm-hmm. That's why you'll hear the Muslim apologists will often say, well, no. The Quran speaks of peace. It says there's no compulsion to religion. You have your God, I have mine. Your God's your God, mine is mine. We can be friends. That we should have peace and all this stuff. What they don't understand, you see, what Westerners don't understand is that they're being fooled by the Muslim apologists, because the Muslim apologists are not telling them the doctrine of abrogation. And the doctrine of abrogation in Islam is that whatever Muhammad said last abrogates or cancels out what he said previously. So the Mecca verses, which are talking about peace, are when he didn't have any strength. Once he gets strength, when he's in Medina, he starts talking about kill the Jews and the Christians, follow them, remove the Arabian Peninsula from any Christians or Jews, and all this kind of stuff. Because it was the Medina verses that, and that's the verses that ISIS follows, and so many of the terrorist groups follow, the Medina verses, because they abrogate the previous verses in Islamic theology.
Now, we talked off air a little bit, and I have a question that just popped into my head. So, is this, as a born-again believer, okay, I was raised in a Catholic church, got saved, came to Christ, you, as my brother, was raised in a Jewish household. You are Jewish and came to know Christ. Is it the same God?
No, of course not.
Okay. So,
would you like to know who the God is?
I will. I know we're going to get to that, but I just want to make it clear, because people tell each other that, well, you can get to your path, I can get to my path. So it's a different God, one. Two, is it the... How old is this religion, and how is it related to us a little bit?
Yeah, it's 1,400 years old. The religion starts basically because in Mecca, before Islam, you had all kinds of pagan worship there, and different gods by different names. And one of the gods' names was Allah. And so what Muhammad really did was, he didn't come up with a new god. He said, Allah is the one true God, and all the other pagan gods are not the true God, and you have to only worship the one God, Allah. The problem is that Allah was a pagan god.
He wasn't a god to begin with.
No, okay. It's a false god in the beginning. It has nothing to do with this Christian position or Jewish position, which is Jehovah. And the idea of Allah has never been, there's no prophet in the Old Testament, New Testament, that ever calls God by the name Allah. There's no Hebrew word. There is Elohim, right? There's Jehovah. But there's no Allah, because Allah was a pagan god, one of them in Mecca, that Muhammad said was the real God, and the rest of them were fake, you see.
So he kind of chose the one he wanted.
Exactly. And we have to understand. Now, let me just, so I make myself clear to those listening. Sometimes the word Allah is used as the word God, just from a language standpoint, like in Arabia. You may even have Christians who use the word Allah from a language standpoint, if you understand.
The real Allah.
Well, they mean, it means just God.
Right.
Because, you know, language... language evolves over time, and it changes its meanings and such. And so sometimes you'll hear that intertwined, like the word Allah used for God. But the fact of the matter is, the real name Allah is not the word God, because if you look at what the origins of it, it was a pagan god called Allah. And in fact, Muhammad's father had the name, a part of his name was Allah.
Yeah. Okay. So Muhammad's kind of the... bearer of this religion, known as Islam.
He is, the according to them, he is the one true prophet, final prophet. They acknowledge the prophets of the Old Testament. They say that Jesus was a prophet, but not the Son of God, nor God manifested in the flesh. So they deny Christ is the Son of God. They deny Christ is God manifested in the flesh. They say he was just a prophet, and they call him Isa. That's the name they use for it. That's who they're talking about.
What's Isa mean, Pastor?
Oh, Isa is just the word that means it's for Jesus or Isa, depending how where you are, how they would pronounce it. If it just means you, but unfortunately, it's a different Jesus. It's not the Jesus of the Bible. It's Muhammad's version of Jesus. And one of the interesting things about Muhammad is that he was quite the plagiarist. He stole from all kinds of writings, from the Talmud, from the what's called the Arab Infancy Gospel, which we know was written in the 5th century or 6th century, that he stole from that. That's mentioned in the Quran. He used all these things and stole quite a few things. There's a lot of plagiarism in the Quran.
And the other question is, you know, trying to break this down to more layman terms, because if I want to understand this so all of us out here can understand, because there's a mass confusion over this.
Oh, yeah.
We're confused as Americans. What's a Muslim then? Is that equal?
Well, a Muslim, Islam is the name of the religion,
right.
and Islam means submission.
Okay.
So the submission, and a Muslim is a follower of Muhammad, of Muhammad who is according to Muhammad, is in right relationship with Allah. However, it's not a personal relationship. Allah is not a personal God, but rather very distant and distinct from humans, whereas opposed to the Christian theology and Jewish theology, that God is a personal God with us. He has interest in us personally. And there's so many, I mean, really, we need about, 40 shows for me to go through all of that. I know about this, but just for my listeners, I want you to know that I'm very, very studying these issues. I'm not speaking off the top of my head here. I'm telling you the truth.
Well, Pastor, we're going to come up on a hard break here, but I just want to say thank you to you so far, because this is really interesting stuff, and this is we're going to keep talking right after the break. You can reach us at smellthetruth.com. Smell the Truth Radio, give that address here. It's 116 Main Street, Marlboro, New Hampshire, 03455. If you want to write to us, Pastor Berman, you're available to speak to people on this subject matter, I assume.
I'm available to speak anywhere on just about any subject matter.
So let's take a quick break, but I want to give the email address. It's drdave@clfchurch.com. drdave@clfchurch.com. This is Smell the Truth Radio. I'm the coach with our host, Pastor Dr. David Berman. We'll be right back.
Do you know what's coming at ya? Do you even care? Can't you feel the... This is Dr. David Berman, your host of Smell the Truth Radio. I, along with my co-host, Rob the Coach Latito, are fighting against the lies of the leftists, the globalists, and the outright followers of Satan's tyranny. Please stand with me as I speak out for biblical values, liberty, and the Constitution against the onslaught of political correctness and intimidation as we have never seen in America before. I know that I will be hated by the progressives, but I refuse to be intimidated. Please spread the word about Smell the Truth Radio. Stand with me as I am a voice for you, the real Americans who believe in our founding Constitution, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This message brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com. Today's Liberal Logic Moment. This Liberal Logic Moment brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
And today's Liberal Logic, Pastor, you think you could run out of material by now, you know, doing, you know, tons of shows.
But every time I hear that little Liberal Logic, I just got to laugh. It's so funny.
You think you'd run out of stuff, but they just, you know, I heard a radio show guy say the other day, it's like low-hanging fruit. You just got to go and grab it.
Yeah, right.
You don't have to reach for it.
They drop it right in your lap, man.
You familiar with the Democratic debate that was on CBS?
I painfully watched that, yes.
I had a few laughs myself. Well, Bernie Sanders said this thing right here.
Okay.
Senator Sanders, you said you want to rid the planet of ISIS. In the previous debate, you said the greatest threat to national security was climate change. Do you still believe that?
Absolutely. In fact, climate change is directly related to the growth of terrorism. And if we do not get...
Well, there it is.
Okay.
Folks, if you didn't hear that, the moderator said, do you still believe climate change is the biggest threat going on in the world right now? And his answer was...
Absolutely.
And it's causing terrorism.
And it's the cause of terrorism.
It is so cold and so hot.
Oh, my gosh.
Hit somebody.
Oh, my gosh.
Pastor, what is going on?
Well, I mean, as you and I have discussed off the air, how come it's only Muslims who are feeling the heat, as it were? Of climate change and causing them to be terrorists. We don't see any Christians or Jews or Hindus or anybody else doing that. So, I mean, first of all, the statement on its face is so absurd, ridiculous. It's mind-blowing. And worse than that, I think, than Bernie Sanders saying that, is the fact that you've got a room full of people who are clapping and agreeing with this chucklehead. On this absurd notion that the reason for Islamic terrorism is because of climate change, man-made climate change, which doesn't exist, by the way. And I'll be happy to do a show on that sometime. But even if it did exist, clearly, even if it did exist, it's absurd to say that. And, of course, it always goes back to the same thing, doesn't it? It's our fault.
Everything's our fault.
It's always our fault that someone else. It's never the fault of the terrorists, the murderous pigs that are killing people and raping, cutting people's heads off. It's the West's fault for being prosperous, while these people in the Middle East live in the Stone Age. It's absurd.
It is absurd. Another liberal logic moment, brought to you by SmellTheTruth.com.
SmellTheTruth.com.
All right, back with you, the coach, our host, the Dr. David Berman, who also is known as Pastor Dave to a lot of people in the New England region. And Pastor, you know, growing up in the New York City area, I grew up in a multicultural diversification of an area. And I say diversification. I grew up in Staten Island, New York, which was like farmland when I was a kid. So I didn't grow up in the Belden area. I want to put that myth to rest, too. But I was a New York City boy. You know, I never heard of the Quran. I never heard of Sunni and Shia. What is Sunni? What is a Shia?
Okay, Sunni.
Sunni. I can't even say it right. I got to leave the language to you.
You're an Italian from New York.
I got Brooklynese here.
I can't expect you to say Sunni properly.
This boggles my mind because I hear this on the news all the time. And if I'm pretty astute in this area, what's the difference between these two sects?
Basically, the Sunni and the Shia sects are this. When Muhammad died, the Sunnis are the ones that felt that the successor to Muhammad could be any but Muslim. And the Shia felt it had to be a family member. And because there was a fight over that, that created a split amongst the Islamics into where you have a majority are Sunni Muslims. ISIS is Sunni, by the way. And then you have a minority of Shia. And the Shia, like Iran, for instance, is Shia. And the Shia tend to have more central authority than the Sunni. The Sunnis really have no central authority whatsoever. The Shia tend to be more unified over listening to certain mullahs. Like in Iran. That's a very basic breakdown for our listeners to hear the basic difference. Now, that was the main difference when they started. However, as time went on, because of the split, there are many practices of the Sunni and the Shia that are not exactly the same. And often the Sunni will actually say that Shia are not really true Muslims. And some Shia will say that about the Sunni as well, but the Sunni often say that Shia is not true Islam. They do have a big fight. Contrary to the idea, the Muslim apologists always like to portray Islam as this unified group of people all over the world, and that just is simply not true. Uh-huh. Not only is there fighting and killing between the Sunni and the Shia, but there are various sects of theology like the Wahhabis, and much different types of theology within Islam that it's certainly not monolithic in any way.
Okay. Well, the next thought process I have in my mind, you're listening to What is Islam? So I'm going to ask the magic question. you know, who is Allah? I mean, who is this guy you told us in the beginning?
Allah.
Who is he?
Allah's a pagan god, doesn't exist. Okay. He's a pagan god, was around, as I said earlier, in Mecca, mm-hmm. and one of the gods that were there worshipped in Mecca.
He's a false god.
Oh, yeah.
He's not the devil? I've heard worship the devil in that sense.
Well, no, any false god is okay. from the devil. It's any idolatry is from, you know, is worshiping a false god. And of course, in the Ten Commandments, very clear, thou shalt have no other god before me. So it's demonic. But Allah's not a name for the devil. Allah's just a name for one of these false gods. Mm-hmm. There's a million names for different false gods. Allah is one of them. And, you know, clearly the position of Muhammad is so opposed to Christian teaching. Mm-hmm. It's mind-boggling, really, that how ignorant Muhammad was of that. Because Muhammad actually said, if you want to know, listen to this. He said, if you want to know if I'm telling you the truth, go talk to the Christians and get the people of the book. And the people of the book are the Jews and the Christians. They're referred to as the people of the book. He said, what I'm saying will be confirmed by their book. Well, when they went to the Christians and the Jews, there began to be a lot of debating because the Christians are saying, no, what you're saying is not in line with our book. And that's why Muslims today have a real dilemma, because the Muslims say that the Bible's corrupt. So listen carefully to this. Mm-hmm. This is a very important point. When you debate a Muslim, and I've debated many of them, they say the Bible's corrupt. We don't receive anything you say from the Bible because it was corrupt. And then I come back at them and say this very simple question. If the Bible was corrupt, mm-hmm. then why did Muhammad tell them to go to the Christians and Jews, the people of the book, to get his word confirmed? They must have had an uncorrupt Bible at the time of Muhammad. They had to, otherwise it makes no sense that Muhammad would say that. And we have the exact copies of the Bibles they had at the time of Muhammad. So it's an absurd argument, absolutely absurd. The fact of the matter is this. Islam is a false religion. Islam follows a false god. Islam follows a false prophet.
And a lot of people would like to argue that, but again, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, I want to understand this, and I think there's folks out there who want to understand this, so we can stand up for what is truth. And we are all about trying to give the truth here at Smell the Truth Radio. You know, Pastor, here's the next thought in my mind is, you talked about some of the verses in the Quran. I have no clue how to read the Quran, maybe, or how to decipher between verses like you can in the Word of God.
Yes.
It seems contradicting to me.
Well, the Quran is a completely different document than the Bible. The Quran is a sort of a list of sayings from, so you know, suppose this is their perspective, sayings from their God through the angel Gabriel. It doesn't read like the Bible at all. It reads like a bunch of mismatched, kind of goofy things. It makes, there's really no rhyme or reason or sense to it. It's not like the Bible, where the Bible talks a lot about what happened in historical books and the poetic books and the major minor prophets, where there's a lot of understanding about humanity and God's interaction with humanity. And the Bible is a marvelous, wonderful collection of writings of the prophets. And it speaks of humanity and relationship with humanity and sin and all these things. And the Quran reads completely different. The Quran is just like sort of a dictation of these sort of sayings that are mishmashed. And in fact, because the Quran is supposedly memorized, and it was really nobody knows, they didn't know when the verses were written or who. And so they had to really do a lot of research to figure out, you know, what the Mecca verses were, what the Medina verses were. I mean, it's really a mishmash of writings in which most Islamic students are memorizing the Quran, really not know. It's like automatons. They memorize the Quran, but they don't really know what it's talking about, because there's no right in the Middle East for you to question the Quran like there is here. You question the Bible, no one's going to chop your head off. Over there, you can't even question the Quran or you'll be in big trouble. So it's a completely different, there's nothing relatable really in Islam to the Judeo-Christian ethic outside of some, you know, very basic things that we relate to with pretty much any human. Most of the theology is completely diametrically opposed to Christian theology.
So you have the talking points from some of these Muslim clerics that go on TV maybe and say, well, that's what the terrorists believe, but in the Quran it says this, and we are peaceful Muslims.
No, well, that's because they're talking about the Mecca verses, but they're not telling you that the abrogation of the verses from Mecca in the Medina, the later verses, abrogate. Not only that, but in Islam, it's not just the Quran that is followed. They follow what's called the Hadith.
The Hadith.
And the Hadith are supposedly sayings of Muhammad. And the Hadith are narrated by certain people. And there's one particular person who narrates them. His name is Bukhari. And Bukhari is absolutely accepted by all Muslims as being absolutely, that's the real narration of Muhammad's sayings. And they believe that the Hadith are just as high as the Quran, that they must listen to the Hadith. And there's no way around the fact that the Hadith says things like, if someone leaves Islam, kill them. Hmm. Those called, it becomes apostate. Kill them. Make no friends with a Christian or a Jew. Their scripture says, the Hadith says that all kinds of things about persecuting unbelievers and, you know, the infidel, and making them pay the jizya, which is the tax. If they let you live, then they'll make you pay a separate tax because you're not Muslim. It's called the jizya. It's really a payola, so they don't kill you. You're always a second-class citizen if you're a Christian or a Jew, if you're not Islamic in those countries, because they see any infidel as being an enemy of Allah. And if you're an enemy of Allah, you're an enemy of them.
Amazing, very interesting topic we're talking about here. What is Islam? The Dr. David Berman is going through this.
It's not Christianity, and it's not close.
And that's the big thing that I feel sometimes, that you
it's
know,
not love, peace. Yeah, it's not love, peace, joy. It's not none of those things.
And it doesn't sound like, you know, biblical verses get taken out of context in the same way that the Quran is just, like you said, is just a mishmash of stuff, and it doesn't make sense.
I mean, anybody could take anything out of context, including the Quran, and I don't ever want to do that. I don't ever want to misrepresent anything. That's why I refuse to do that. I'm not going to take a verse out of context. I'm telling you that if you read the Quran and the Hadith, and you read the early Muslim sources, that's very important. Not the modern Muslim sources, the early Muslim sources, you will know what Islam is about. And it's not about peace and coexistence. Absolutely not.
Wow. I got to stop you there, Pastor. Our time has come to an end today. But a very interesting topic. What is Islam? You're listening to part one, so we want you to tune into our next episode of Smell the Truth Radio, talking to you about what is Islam. Our host is Dr. David Berman. Get in touch with him at his email address, drdave@clfchurch.com. You can write to us at 116 Main Street, Marlborough, New Hampshire, 03455. I'm Rob Lotito, the coach for Dr. David Berman. See you next episode of Smell the Truth Radio.
SmellTheTruth.com.